All right, welcome to Ask the Mayor. It's the second week of March, and we find ourselves, as usual, in Terre Haute with Mayor Duke Bennett. Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, I enjoy doing this, and I appreciate you coming over.
Hey, it's spring break for ISU, so things seem to be a little quiet as I drove through today. I don't know, it didn't have that hustle and bustle as it usually does.
Yeah, it's always a game changer when the students aren't in town.
No spring break for you or I, though. We're still here.
Yeah, we're still moving.
I know we've done some reporting on the flooding. That was a couple weeks ago, but especially for the Wabash River being pretty high. Any damage or anything over here in Terre Haute?
Well, not really in Terre Haute, kind of in some West Terre Haute areas and some other areas of the county. They experience, which anytime the river rises that much, they always do. But in the city itself, with us being on a higher ground, we usually don't get much of that. We did have our dock destroyed a little while back when we had an ice flow that came through right before the river really rose up to its highest level. And so we're working on getting that replaced. But outside of just a little water on the road at Fairbanks Park, we haven't had much of a serious problem in Terre Haute. There wasn't any significant damage anywhere.
Good. That's good to hear. The legislative session is wrapping up. Mm-hmm. I think they've about, a week left?
Yeah, end of this week.
End of this week,
yes.
of the session. And we've been looking here for Terre Haute, Vigo County, any word on the food and beverage tax. But so far, nothing now.
Nothing has changed yet. I mean, it's still alive. And we'll see what happens the rest of this week. You know, there's been a little bit of pushback on the House side because they just don't want to raise taxes. It really wasn't about Terre Haute and the food and beverage tax here. It was just taxes in general. And so it's still alive right now, but we're running out of time here. And so hopefully we'll have a positive result by the end of the week.
Any indication of where that could go?
No, you know, either
Can't
way,
tell.
You know,
yeah.
We got it through the Senate. So
yeah.
The key will just be getting it, finished and getting it on the governor's desk. And so, and the whole purpose of that tax, once again, is for our convention center project. You know, we've got a private partner that's willing to come in and help us develop another hotel. And then the convention center would be built, additional parking facility, and Larry Bird's museum. And so he wants to be able to put all of his stuff together in one place for people to be able to view it. And so we think this would be a great addition to our community. And this tax then would help us with the operations of that, kind of the longer term running the facility.
And I know there's some money being set aside too from county, city, and so forth. If this doesn't go through, is what happens? Is it dead, or do you start looking for other ways to fund it?
No, I don't think it's going to be dead. We're going to go back and really think the food and beverage tax is the right thing to use for something like this. You know, we can come up with the capital money to build it, but over time you need money to run it. You need money to replace things. And so that's what we're hoping to do with that tax. And so, you know, the majority of people paying it won't even be Vigo County residents. They'll be people from other counties or Illinois. And so they're coming in and using our facilities when they visit our community, and they'll be helping to pay for something like this. And so that'll help us to sustain it in the long run.
We've heard about innkeeper's tax in other counties too. I think Howard County is looking at that. Is that something that has been talked about here?
Well, we have an innkeeper's tax, and so it helps us to fund our Convention and Tourism Bureau. They are contributing money to this convention center project through those funds, and so we utilize those funds in the same kind of a way from a tourism perspective here.
I just wanted to mention about that Indiana now has Sunday sales. And I bet many residents now don't have to run to the border. Terre Haute is near Illinois, to be able to buy alcohol on Sundays. So now Indiana, I guess something that we don't hear about much in Indianapolis or elsewhere, but Indiana is also getting maybe more business, Terre Haute, in Sunday sales.
Yeah, and the first day was pretty
phenomenal.
Was it crazy here? It was a lot of people. A lot of people went and took advantage of that. Maybe it was just kind of the newness, the novelty of it. But yeah, that was something that people have been asking for a long time. Why is Indiana the only place you can't do that? And so the legislature has fixed that, I guess, if you want to put it that way, and allowed that to happen. And I'm sure it'll settle into more of a normal routine now. But, you know, it's people want to come to Terre Haute to shop and do a variety of other things. And that's just something else on their list that they can do now on Sundays.
Now, city budget, if we can get maybe an update on that. Last we heard a few weeks ago, the city needed to cut $290,000 this year from the budget if everything else stays the same. I know there are loans and other things that have to be taken care of, but for the most part, where's the city right now in terms of the budget?
Well, we finished, I guess let's talk about 17 just briefly. We finished 17 with a positive balance in our general fund, an overall positive balance. We've had three straight years of balanced budgets. Our general fund continues to be balanced as we move forward from here on out, but we still have a little bit of a deficit there to deal with. And so over the last 2 years, or 3 years total from basically through 17, we've reduced that general fund deficit from $8.9 million to down to about $3.7 million. We expect to cut that in half again this year, and it'll be totally eliminated next year, assuming we don't get any new revenue of any kind, which there's nothing, you know, on the immediate horizon. So we're doing very well. We've balanced things out. We've just got a little bit of a deficit we still need to deal with. And so when we look at 18, the only action we need to take is do an appropriation for our MVH fund, our motor vehicle fund, which is our street department. The state decided to cut that about $288,000, and that's fine, it's no big deal. We've got about $700,000 of a positive cash balance there. We will appropriate about $288,000 over, and we'll probably end the year with another substantial cash balance. So it's a very easy fix to a very minor problem.
All the numbers have come in for 2017. You said there was a little bit of a deficit. What was the final deficit of 2017?
Well, we didn't have a deficit on all of our budgets. We ended up having a deficit in our two golf courses. And then the general fund shows a positive, but that's because we extended the loan over. But its true deficit's about a negative $3.7 million, but it ended the year with a positive $1.2 million balance. So that's some pretty significant progress. We just got to keep knocking away at that deficit. Like I said, about another $2 million will come off this year, and the rest of it will come off next year for sure.
And there,
if not sooner.
Sure, sure. And you talked about even some plans to repay, there were a couple loans too out to help cover.
Well, we take out one, a tax anticipation warrant that we take out in January and pay it back in December. So that'll happen, it's always happened. The other one is the redevelopment loan that extended beyond the end of the year. We'll pay $3 million of that back in June and only use $2 million for the rest of the year. So we're gonna reduce our borrowing by $3 million this year.
And there was also a loan with the county too?
Well, that's a bond anticipation note that they took out. I mean, it was, yeah, you can consider it a loan, but they bought the bond versus us doing it on the open market. And so we're paying back about $2 million of that this year, and we'll have it all paid off ahead of time, basically. It's not due till 2021.
Okay. I see we're Margaret Avenue, a little bit behind schedule.
A few months behind schedule because some utility work, but that's completed and now they're doing construction. So really excited about that. They're doing pile driving down there this week and soon to be building the bridge across the railroad tracks at 19th and Margaret. So hopefully we'll have a dry spring and a dry summer. They'll get back on schedule and we hope to open that up by the end of the year.
Any other construction projects going on in town people should know about?
South 7th Street will be coming up. The bids came back this week on that, and so we'll get that project started, that next section south of the section that was completed last year. And then we'll be doing some work up on the north side on Lafayette Avenue, just north of Fort Harrison, and then just a lot of paving projects. It's, you know, with pothole season
here
is
we go, huh?
Kind of behind us now where we've got most of them patched, but now we've got to do some road improvements. And so we have a lot of work to do there.
And you have to wait on that because asphalt plants don't open until spring, right?
Right, they open up in April, but usually NDOT gets the first few weeks worth of asphalt, but we'll get on the schedule there, and then all throughout the summer, we'll be doing smaller individual projects along with our two big road projects.
What's going on there on State Road 46? There's some construction?
Yeah, we've had some questions about that. We're doing a drainage project. So out across from Meyer and north of Walmart, in that big open field there, we've got some water issues on the east side of 46. The pipe is not big enough under 46 that was put in many, many years ago. And then, so we have to drain it from that side to the west side, and then we have to get it from the west side there to a retention pond, and then eventually to Holman Lake, that, you know, works its way to the Wabash River. And so it's about a $1.8 million project to improve all the drainage out there. With all the new development and the new development is to come, we had to do something to be able to capture and remove that stormwater out of that area. So we're not building anything there. The community, you know, there's no private developer building anything, but we're doing a public project to get the drainage right, and then you'll see some new development to come in behind that.
The City Council Chamber, their five-county economic initiative, sometimes collaborating with a group, pull resources together to help create, attract jobs. Have the partnerships, you know, been formed there, or what's the potential that you're seeing there?
Well, we're getting ready to have our first meeting. We've been looking at other models across the state, and because, you know, the state government, the governor, the legislature, everybody tells us we need to operate regionally. We've heard that for 3 or 4 years now, and we've been trying to begin to adapt that here locally. And so West Central 2025 will be an effort to get the surrounding counties to work with Terre Haute and Vigo County on a more regular basis, more collaborative, more project oriented, to see how we can bring money, bring resources, bring private development to West Central Indiana that we all benefit from, instead of working in our little silos, working together to help these other counties be successful also. So we're just kicking that off and getting that started. It's going to be a long-term commitment, but really exciting that we're able to come together and work together in a positive way to just make this area grow.
I also wanted to mention, a couple weeks ago, Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb was here to announce about expanding work-based learning industry across the state, but he was here in Terre Haute because of a local company that he sees more apprenticeships could bring more jobs.
Yeah, Stark Industries is the business that he came out and visited to make his announcements regarding some workforce development initiatives. And that's the biggest thing we're all facing right now. We need to get a qualified and trained workforce ready to go. As these businesses want to locate in Indiana, they got to be able to hire good staff. And so Stark has really worked hard on internships and all the way down to the high school level, but trying to get high school age kids, college age kids, as they're still doing their education piece, to get them exposed to this kind of an industry. And you know, it's really, they've done some very remarkable things. It's paid off for them. And so the governor sees that as that's a great model for others to follow of how do we get more engaged with the high schools and the colleges to expose these students to this type of industry so they want to be a part of that and they set their sights on that. So they get a chance to come in and work while they're going to school. And then when they graduate, then there's a job for them. And so I think it's a great model, and we're really, that was an exciting day because once I got to kind of walk through it too, it's like, yeah, this is exactly what we need to do. And so I'm sure a lot of other employers are doing that, but from the state's perspective, they want to expand that kind of an activity and partner more with private business.
Sure. Well, as we finish up today, what are the top maybe three things the mayor has on his desk?
Well, you know, I'm just really feeling good about our budget. I couldn't be any happier about that. Everybody's feeling that. And so we're going to continue to work on that really hard to eliminate that final deficit. We're going to do some things with the golf courses this year to reduce their deficit, operating deficit. So that's definitely a focal area. Paving will be big this year. So road projects are going to be inconvenient for people. There's a lot of utility work going on out there right now that I know is frustrating, but we'll be doing a lot of road work this summer. And then I guess the final thing is just when we talk about workforce development, economic development activity, we're going to keep trying to sell Terre Haute and do it in conjunction with our surrounding counties as we move forward, that a business that lands in Sullivan County is good for Terre Haute and vice versa. And so we're really going to work hard on collaboration and just working together to make this a better place. People want to come here, either stay or come here and be able to do business, go to school, whatever it is. We just see that regional approach is the best approach.